Hey there, St. Andrews. We are back once again from the lovely studios in Burbank, California. Pastor Matt and
Pastor Ethan
with How the Sausage is Made.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
You know, we almost didn't even have to fly out here. It's so nice back home, but
it's actually colder here than in Park Ridge. Yeah. It's kind of dumb idea.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But not every time is a good idea. That's, you know, we don't always come up with good ideas. That's folks at home. You heard it here first. We don't always come up with good ideas.
We can admit that.
Freely admit that. Oh, man. Well, we went back to Easter Day once again at the reading. You know, we were in John 20 the week before, and then, of course, Luke 24, which incidentally is like one of my favorite chapters in all the Gospels is Luke 24. I've always drawn. There's so much going on there. And you mentioned that in your sermon. There's probably 20 different ways you can go in depth in that sermon. I appreciate what you did. We met up with Clopas and the other guy. We don't know his name.
Whoever he was.
Joe? Yeah. Fred?
Something like that.
Kevin? I don't know.
Something. I like Kevin.
Yeah. Met up with Clopas and Kevin on the way to Emmaus, and they run into Jesus. And tell us, as you preached and thinking about it, what are the parts of that account that are still kind of sticking with you?
I think a few things that are sticking with me still is how sad they are and how not just that they're bummed out about it. I mean, obviously, like, they're going to be sad that one of their teachers and mentors and friends is gone.
Yeah.
But the way that it's like, it's the only thing that it seems like they can even think about and talk about. It's the only thing that anybody can think about and talk about.
Yeah.
Like, they even say to Jesus, like, you're the only one who's not thinking about and talking about this right now. And I think that's interesting. Obviously, it's still very fresh to them. But I would have been like maybe explored that a little bit more. How just they can't help but talk about the death of Jesus. It's like so impactful to them. That, and then also the detail about Jesus breaking bread with them.
And
like almost two different times it comes back. Like the whole story actually is wrapped up with the phrase, they told the disciples about Jesus and how he was revealed to them through the breaking of the bread. And I just feel like there's some really like theological significance to that. And just kind of like how God designed us to be in community and like the things that happen whenever people eat together.
Right.
It's like really special.
It's super. And the ancient world too. It was like, it was a sign of acceptance is a sign of I see you as my peer, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So like I said, just a lot of really cool things we could have touched on.
But absolutely. But I appreciate what you went into, and it was just the question of what's the Bible about? What is it about at its root? And it's funny, it's one of those really basic questions. And it's one of those things on the surface you think you know the answer to right away. Like I'm just gonna rattle it off. But then it involves some thought, and different people have different responses. Doesn't mean they're wrong. It just they're a different response. But I appreciate that you kind of brought it home to us, and that it's really about Christ, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And there is a distinction, I think, about like what's in the Bible. You know, like there are a lot of things about how we live and how we serve each other, and we reflect the love of God and how we're supposed to be God's people. There is a lot of things in the Bible about us.
Yeah, and we should heed those. We should listen to those.
Absolutely. But it's a different lens when you say, but what is the overall message for me? And the overall message is a rescue story, as we kind of discovered or meditated on. And what I was encouraged by was, one, I didn't think that this would be like profoundly new information to anybody, maybe at least a new way of like looking at it or talking about it, but the content itself wasn't profoundly new. But with the help of some of those diagrams and like visual aids and watching a video and everything, for us to wrap our minds around it maybe in a different way that's a little more accurate to what the text says.
Your initial chart kind of drawing thing was just like, it's about me and it's about, you know, heaven or you die and go to heaven or hell. Right. And, it was a very simple, but very effective diagram. I think diagramming what people outside the church perceive what it is that we're teaching. And I was really struck, and I got to hear your sermon a couple of times. And the first time I heard it, I loved that you kind of said there's something wrong with this. And inherently, you know, there's something wrong with that. Like, that can't just be the whole thing.
Yeah.
But you just said there's not a lot of room for God in this picture. It's just aligned with the Y at the end, you know. Sure. And then he said, and there's no need for a cross in this picture.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, that was really profound.
Yeah.
And what I like is that it, there's a certain artistry to presenting a diagram and saying what's there, but there's also a certain art to saying, let me point out what's not here.
Yeah.
And that was really good. That really stuck with me. A lot of things stuck with me from the sermon, but that really stuck with me, you know, pretty deeply.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. And one thing I have to say, I should have been more explicit about during the sermon, was basically none of that was my original ideas or thoughts like presented. I borrow and adapt and shape from Tim Mackey, he's like one of the main voices in Bible Project.
Yeah.
I borrowed and shape from things that you shared with me, videos you showed me, things we talked about. And it's just kind of cool, like, how that's what almost every time that we share the gospel with people, anytime we do a sermon or a Bible study, we're taking information that and the thoughts of, you know, other Christians around us or Christians before us, and we present them and use them to continue to kind of chew on and strengthen our faith and the faith of the people around us. So it's kind of cool how it's like God's church works together throughout all space, time. Just really cool.
Well, I mean, it's cool. There's also humility in what you said, but it's true. I mean, we're dealing with a text that's, you know, 2,000 years old or older, right? If you get the Old Testament, and that's kind of the joke. You know, someone says, my book club's been stuck on the same book. And I would say, my book club's been stuck on the same book for 2,000 years. You know, so we're always going to be talking about things that other people have hashed out and hashed through. Hey, here's an interesting question. As we're kind of trying to pull back the curtain on sermon preparation, what are some resources that kind of develop that help you develop a sermon? What are some of the resources you like to go to that help you kind of do so? And I'll share some of mine too.
Yeah, that's good. So I have a collection of commentaries that I got that were kind of hand-me-downs from my vicarage supervisor.
Yeah.
And some of them are, I have the New Testament written by one like publisher and the Old Testament by a different publisher. And I'll refer to those pretty regularly, just to get a grasp of big picture stuff, what's happening contextually, and a lot of it is kind of like what we were just saying, what is this guy's take on it?
Yeah.
And how might that kind of influence my, like, flavor my approach a little bit? So that, and then we also have a software that, I don't know if you got it. Do you have Logos?
I'm an old guy, and I was told I shouldn't use Logos. So I was told I need to use books.
New guys, us young guys,
smart guys using Logos.
We graduated from the seminary with a Bible software called Logos that has, it's basically a huge like database library of commentaries and books. But one of the really cool things about it is it has the Bible in its Hebrew translations and several different translations, and the New Testament in Greek, and all the lexicons and dictionaries you need. So Logos is like a really helpful resource if I'm just like zoning in on a particular word.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say, like, what does that word like really mean, and how is it used in other places of the Bible? And
it's super helpful.
So that's really helpful. And then the last one, which you might talk about, you use as well, is just a podcast by two brilliant sermon writers and preachers and professors.
You shouldn't reference our podcast like that.
Yes, I listen to our own podcast. Yeah, it's a good idea. Oh, no, I'm referring to a totally different podcast.
Oh, wait, you said Brilliance College. Okay, yes, never mind. Okay, yes, excuse me. Pardon me.
But it's Dr. David Schmidt and Dr. Peter Navsker, two professors from Concordia Seminary.
Great men, dude.
St.
Great
Louis. Dudes, oh, yeah, they're amazing.
They both preach here at St. Andrews.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so they prepare pastors all over the country and world for like the upcoming weeks. They'll say, here's what's coming up in the lectionary. Here's what I would preach on, and here's some things I would do. You take it and run with it. So
that's awesome. They're pretty simple and it's fun. You should listen to it. It's just called Lectionary Kickstart. Listen to it. It's great.
Yeah.
For me, I think one of my big references was a guy named Lenski, who I referenced actually a couple weeks ago, referenced him in a sermon. But the one thing that's really been interesting to me is a series of five books, called The Chronicles of the Messiah, and I'm saving up to get one called The Chronicles of the Apostles, but it's written from a Jewish perspective and references a lot of Jewish history, and it's a really, really insightful thing. I'm really heavily influenced by the sermons of the late Tim Keller, and his stuff is available online too. So I love listening to how he kind of approaches things. I really admire his style, and those are a couple of the big resources that I go to. But it's nice to reiterate your point. We're always kind of hearing what people have said and then trying to present it in a way that makes sense for here in this context.
Right.
But you should be influenced by other Christians and other Christian minds and other Christian writers. That, you know, we shouldn't be trying to do this in a vacuum. So.
Well, yeah, and I mean that's true for every single Christian, that we're designed to be in community with each other.
Yeah,
and we're constantly being influenced and shaped by the other members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Which is just really beautiful, the way God kind of put all things together. And as you're talking about your resources that you like to use, I know that you got some really cool verses coming up for this weekend as we keep reading through Acts together.
Early
church, and we get to like a really, really key portion in Acts that talks about what did the early church look like and what was the early church doing and how were they living together and how were they living out their faith and what did it look like. And so kind of give us a little insight into what exactly that is, what is your text, and where are you at in terms of putting all these thoughts and things you've been reading and listening to and putting it into something that we can receive this weekend.
Yeah, actually, I did quite a bit of work this morning on it and really, really kind of have the outline, the flow of it down. Now I'm just trying to, you know, refine it. And I was telling you, I think as I look at it, my prayer and hope is that as we kind of get it more refined and kind of, you know, take the hammer to the hot metal and hit it, that we kind of take some of the material off and kind of get right to the kind of the heart of the matter.
Right.
What we're dealing with is Acts 2. And the cool thing is Acts 2, you know, we just dealt with the birth of Jesus and Christmas. And then we come through Easter and his death and his resurrection. And so after the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, now we go through this whole process with the birth of the church, the infant church.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like Christmas of the church in a way. Huh. But we're not dealing with we're going to do a Pentecost in a while. And by the way, if you speak a foreign language, we're going to be asking you for help soon for the Pentecost readings, but that's neither here nor there. This is after Pentecost, 3,000 people are baptized. It's a wild time. And then, boom, we get right into what does the church look like? Mm-hmm. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Essentially, they don't have the New Testament yet, right? They have the apostles, but not the New Testament. So they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the fellowship, the apostles teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And all those things are important. They all go together. But what I'm focusing on is the fellowship, or the word a lot of times here is koinonia. And it's kind of distinguished from just like a meal fellowship, because they also devoted themselves to eating together, breaking bread.
Yeah.
But there's something, just kind of exploring what does real fellowship look like. And I'm going to reference probably three or four quotes from a Lutheran pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a pretty famous guy. He was a pastor who stayed true to the faith when a lot of churches were capitulating to the Nazi rule and kind of forsaking their theology and their teaching. He didn't.
Yeah.
And he ended up, he did all kinds of things, but he ended up dying in a concentration camp. But he ran an underground seminary for a while and was training 25 young men to go be pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just observing what real Christian community looks like among these guys.
Yeah.
And it's shocking because he said the real Christian community isn't based upon our perfection and our goodness. It's based upon our sharing our sinfulness and our need for God's grace with one another. That's real fellowship. And so we'll get into that even more, but man, I'm right now, I would love to just stand up and read chapter 5 of Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but that's probably not going to fly too well.
Maybe we'll do that in Bible study.
Yeah. I mean, you read a page of Chicken Chicken Boom Boom, so maybe I could just read a page of
it. Or do it for the kids' message.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer for the kids' message. Yeah, exactly. That'd be good. Just a bunch of just faces like, what is this pastor had a stroke? What is he doing? What is he doing up there?
Well, that's awesome. I know that it's what I hope we see this weekend is just reading the words, just reading the scriptures together, is we see that what the early church did right from the beginning is what we're still doing today.
Right, exactly.
We're still devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, mm-hmm. to the breaking of bread, to prayers. But kind of what you're doing is honing in on a portion of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And exactly. I love the way you're going to kind of challenge and shape and maybe adjust the way we think about what is fellowship and what does that really, really mean, and how should that inform the way we interact with each other?
Yeah, and it's a deep fellowship, but there's other reasons. Like, there's reasons why it mentions fellowship and the breaking the bread. Like, we're having a pancake breakfast on Sunday, and it's not because Jesus said go therefore and eat pancakes. You know, I wish he did. That'd be fantastic. The 11th commandment. But it is because we're trying to get people to know each other, not just so we get to know each other, but actually so we can actually fellowship, walk with each other.
Right.
And it's like, you can't forsake the steps that get you there. And so, like, we have a new member class going on, and we had two Sundays. We're taking a break this Sunday so they can go to pancake breakfast without having to have something else to do. But I said, I want you to treat this like it's a class, meaning this is as important as going to the classes.
Right.
Because we're building relationships. I said, I expect you to be at the pancake breakfast.
Right.
So
I love that we're making that a point.
We're trying to drive that point home, that this is not a small thing. We're not taking a Sunday off. In fact, we're doing just as much of the Lord's work when we're sitting down and eating the pancakes together. So, then of course the church that's shaped like the early church, that kind of end with this, is just that they shared what they had. People sold what they had and gave money so that they could give the poor and they could take care of each other. And they constantly got together and worshiped. And so they were generous and they were active in worship and they were devoted. They gave themselves to these things. And, again, how do we get to that point? There's no shortcut.
Yeah.
There's no shortcut other than praising God together, coming to worship, having the Holy Spirit work on us, being open with one another, sharing our struggles with each other. That's how we get to be that church that God wants us to be. And it's about relying upon the grace of God, and we can't manufacture that. We just receive it and we share that with each other. So,
Amen, man. Well, I don't think I'm going to try to add anything else to that.
That's beautiful, dude. Good.
So God's blessings to you while you keep prepping. And let me pray for you.
Yes, man, please,
for
please,
all
please.
Of us. Lord God, thank you so much for this place and for putting me and Pastor Matt into the office of the Holy Ministry, where we get to proclaim your word to the people in front of us, and be with Matt the rest of this week as you continue to speak to him and shape the things in his mind and in his heart, that you put the right words on his lips, that you reveal to us your will for us and how we ought to look and live as your people and as your church. Lord, might this weekend just continue to shape who we are as St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
And as we take a little look into what the early church looked like, help us to continue to be just as generous, to be just as committed and devoted to what you reveal to us in your word and the ways you call us to love each other. Lord, bless Matt. Bless all of us here at St. Andrews. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. And we'll see you, St. Andrews.
Bye, guys.